New York and all the top television programs, radio shows. He was, you saw him in The Perfect Stranger. A lot of figures. Mr. Paul McVeigh. Paul, come on out. I'm not going to tell you what the next gentleman does on our program, but you've heard him on, I think, every program in radio. I don't even think I'll give you a hint. You just listen during the program, and you can tell. Mr. Jeff Kirkpatrick. Jeff, come on. Now the exciting times have arrived. When I introduce the star of our show, I want you to raise this roof. I can't tell you a lot about him because you know he's one of the greatest actors and one of the most famous moving picture stars in the world, the star of our show, Mr. William Powell.
Don't lose it. We're about to do it.
Watch me.
Don't do anything here for me.
William Powell in My Mother's Husband.
Oh, backward, turn backward, oh, time in my flight, when a bike built for two was a courtship delight.
Ladies and gentlemen, we introduce My Mother's Husband, starring William Powell.
When ladies wore blushes and gents a mustache, and an actress in ties.
Oh, you kid.
Was a barbershop smash.
A new program about a gentleman of the old school in those grand and fabulous days when we and the century were very young.
Oh, days that we treasure with memories aglow. When we sat on the front porch and sang soft and low.
Visitors to St. Louis will tell you that the most awe-inspiring sights of this growing metropolis are the Great Union Station, the gigantic Eads Bridge, and my mother's husband, Harvey Jefferson Brickell. Yes, and proud tourists often boast that they not only witnessed the 4 o'clock feeding of the man-eating lion at Forest Park Zoo, but they also saw the 6 o'clock homecoming of my mother's husband to Vandeventer Place for supper.
Here he comes! Gotcha! There he goes.
Kind of tame today. Why, he only clipped 3 hitching posts, skinned 2 handsome cabs, and scraped the mud gods off 1 Victoria.
It was just 20 years ago that my mother's husband carried her over the threshold of their 18-room Victorian replica of the Taj Mahal on Vandeventer Place. The condemned man had been swung to wedded bliss by Reverend Snow.
Harvey Jefferson Brickell, do you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife, in sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse?
My dear Reverend Snow, I consider it an impertinence for you to go into this involved interrogation concerning my qualifications as a sickbed nurse, my financial status, and my future behavior if this lady should adopt all the obnoxious traits of her mother.
But, Mr. Brickell...
I will not be stampeded into making you any rash promises.
I...
Even though I stand here like a stag at bay, dressed like a blessed pallbearer, and exposed to the malicious scrutiny of a church full of giggling busybodies.
Yes, but you...
Thank you. Now get down to where she promises to love, honor, and obey me. We're going to Niagara Falls for our honeymoon. We'd like to get there before it dries up.
I, Virginia, was a blessing that came to burn my mother's husband 2 years later. His heart was set on a boy. So I was the very last illness he ever let mother take from poor Dr. Stover. But he was his usual cheerful, considerate self when he stopped up to the front bedroom to see Mother and me.
Now, don't let this get you down, Dorothy. Naturally, I know how you feel, wasting 9 months of your life and having practically nothing to show for it. Oh, that doctor's a Democrat. There's probably some dastardly plot to deliver nothing but girls and cut down the Republican vote. Gad, I never saw anything so red. Well, we can't have her downstairs. She'll clash like the devil with our orange plush father set.
That was 18 years ago. And it's been a very exciting life with my mother's husband. Ordinary people divide their day into hours. But we used the crisis. On this particular morning, as Mother is talking to Ella May, our cook, it is exactly 8:30, oh crisis.
Now, do be terribly careful, Ella May.
Oh, yes, ma'am, Miss Brickle.
Mr. Brickle is very upset this morning, so don't even rattle a plate or tinkle the silverware.
Good morning, Mother.
Good morning,
Ella May.
Good morning, Miss Virginia.
Mother, do you know we have a telegraph messenger on our front piazza?
Oh, yes, dear. He's waiting while your father composes a wire to Teddy Roosevelt.
Boy, send this to Washington.
Oh, your father's very angry with the president. They had an argument about the tariff last night.
I bet Mr. Brickle done told President Teddy which was what.
Oh, he would have, Ella May. But just as he opened his mouth to simply wither the president with his reply, Mr. Brickle woke up.
You mean it was just a dream?
Yes. So now, of course, Mr. Brickle has to wire the president what he would have said.
Oh, listen. I think I hear Mr. Brickle coming. I better go start his breakfast.
Well, morning, Virginia.
Good morning, Papa.
Morning, Dorothy.
Good morning, Harvey.
Here, a little present for you, my dear.
Why, Harvey.
Many happy returns of the day.
Oh, you did remember. Look, Virginia, a wedding anniversary present. Perfume.
Oh, it's a lovely bottle, Papa.
What scent is it, Harvey?
I haven't the faintest idea. Not being an authority on such things, I simply walked into the shop and said I wanted a bottle of perfume that smelt like a woman who'd been married 20 years. Well, what about breakfast?
Oh, you can sit down, Harvey. Ella May will be right in. Oh, dear, I forgot to tell Ella May that she didn't have to wake Uncle Willie this morning.
Will you tell me why he can't get up by an alarm clock like anyone else?
Well, he got used to the bugle in the army, dear. And he is a hero of the Spanish-American War.
The nearest Willie got to the Cuban battlefront was East St. Louis.
Yes, but then...
And there, bending over to snipe a cigar butt, he was bitten by his horse. Sent home for the duration.
Yes, but he had to lie on his stomach for 6 months, and that made him simply loathe horses. That's why he's such a good automobile salesman, Harvey.
Oh, and the company's delivering a new machine this morning, Papa, and Uncle Willie got up early to receive it.
Yes, he simply insists that we go for a demonstration, dear.
When my time comes, I shall ascend the golden stairs slowly and with dignity. I refuse to sit on a tank of gasoline and be shot there like a skyrocket.
But Reverend Cole mentioned automobiles in his sermon last Sunday, Papa.
Yes, he said the Lord moves in strange ways, his wonders to perform.
You may inform Reverend Cole that when the Lord wishes to move me into a horseless carriage, he'll have to send Samson down to do it.
Now, Harvey, don't be blasphemous.
I'm not being blasphemous. I simply said...
But Samson's in the Bible, Papa.
And you know, dear, that every time you blaspheme at the table, the Lord always smites you with indigestion.
I repeat. Virginia.
Yes, Papa.
Is my baking soda on the sideboard?
Yes, Papa.
Then I will not be intimidated. Samson, Samson, Samson.
Harvey.
And I will not ride in a horseless carriage. That's final.
Miss Brickle, I done blowed the bugle like Mr. Willie learned me, but I ain't blowed him up yet.
He's out blowing himself up. And when, may I ask, do we have breakfast?
Oh, I got it right here, Mr. Brickle.
You can say grace, Harvey.
Very well. We humbly bow our heads to give thanks for this bountiful repast, which you... How much did we pay for that butter?
25 cents a pound.
For this bountiful and expensive repast, which you as owner of the universe and I as president of the St. Louis and Northern Railroad have provided. If you have the time this morning, you might look in on my wife's mother in Hannibal, Missouri.
Thank you, Harvey.
Keep her happy and contented, so she won't come down to St. Louis and move in on me. And as for my wife's brother, Willie, if there's any fool in the country who desires to ride to Hades in a horseless carriage, please direct his steps to Uncle Willie so they can go there together.
Harvey, I will not sit here.
Thanking you for past favors and anticipating quick action on current requests, I... What, may I ask, is this loathsome mess of jetsam under my nose?
That's a soft-boiled egg, Mr. Brickle.
I don't believe it. No feathered vertebrate could labor 24 hours and get this mess inside an eggshell.
That's nonsense, Harvey. It's one of Mr. Pettibone's own fresh eggs.
That confirms my worst suspicions. Give it back to him and say I do not choose to breakfast on an unhatched little Pettibone.
He done brought a dozen, Mr. Brickle, and he's waiting for his 14 cents.
You may send Mr. Pettibone in to see me, Ella May.
Yes.
Even if Pettibone laid this himself, he couldn't get 14 cents a dozen in Barnum and Bailey Sideshow. Virginia, you may be excused if you have the hiccups.
But I haven't, Papa.
Well, then what's that whooping?
Oh, it's Uncle Willie honking the horn for us to come out and see the new auto.
Hope he honks his arms off.
Oh, now, Harvey, that's a terrible thing to say. Uncle Willie admires you tremendously. Why, he's always boasting to people about your good taste.
Well, Willie ought to know. He's been eating off me for 6 years.
Come right in this way, Mr. Pettibone.
Good morning, Mr. Brickle.
Mr. Pettibone, I would like...
Morning, Miss Brickle.
Good morning, Mr. Pettibone.
Now, Mr. Pettibone, if I may have
morning,
your...
Morning, Miss Virginia.
Good morning, Mr. Pettibone.
Mr. Pettibone.
Yes, sir. What can I do for you, Mr. Brickle?
I would like you to step over here.
Good morning, everybody.
Oh, hello, Uncle Willie.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy. You ought to see the Jim Dandy little Oldsmobile I got out front.
Mr. Pettibone, I would like your honest opinion.
Rosewood dashboard, acetylene headlamp.
Mr. Pettibone.
Giant two-cylinder motor, silent muffler, 24 horsepower.
Uncle Willie sells automobiles, Mr. Pettibone.
Mr. Pettibone.
I'd like you to step outside for a demonstration, Mr. Pettibone. Come on, just let me run you around the block and...
Mr. Pettibone!
Harvey, there's no reason for you to lose your temper and break one of my best dishes.
If Willie doesn't put Mr. Pettibone back where he got him, I'm going to break both his arms. Now, Mr. Pettibone, I want you to look at this egg cup and tell me what it is.
Staffordshire.
I'm not speaking of the cup, Mr. Pettibone, but of the contents.
Oh. Well, now, that is a boiled egg.
Ostrich or sea serpent?
Plymouth Rock.
You're sure?
Genuine Plymouth Rock.
That was where the pilgrims landed?
Well, yes, but the Plymouth Rock I mean is...
You mean to say that this egg was brought over on the Mayflower?
No, the hen that laid the pilgrims, they couldn't bring this egg with them because I got it from under a Plymouth Rock.
You, Mr. Pettibone... Are you trying to confuse me?
Look, it was under a Plymouth Rock, but the pilgrims had nothing to do with it because they wasn't around.
How did it get there before the pilgrims? Who buried it under the Plymouth Rock? The Indians?
Mr. Brickle, look, suppose we forget the whole thing and I just give you back your 14 cents?
No. I'm a man who's willing to pay for his mistakes. But from now on, Mr. Pettibone, I will provide my own breakfast egg.
Now, Harvey, don't be silly. Mr. Pettibone has the best eggs in town.
I do not propose to eat town eggs. I shall go to the country and find those produced by an honest fowl of the farm.
Oh, but you can't do that, Papa. It'll take a whole day every week.
It's just too ridiculous, dear.
Yep, it don't seem at all practical to me, Mr. Brickle.
It's simply preposterous, Harvey.
Oh, now, wait a minute, folks. If Harvey wants country eggs, he'll get country eggs, won't you, Harvey?
I most certainly shall.
You're dealing with a man of iron determination, Pettibone.
Well, a 30-40-mile trip every week.
That's intimidation, Harvey.
Listen, Pettibone. Distance means nothing at all to me.
Then there's a wear and tear on your buggy.
He's trying to trick you, Harvey. Watch him.
My carriage, Mr. Pettibone, is no worry of yours.
Then there's your horses.
Horses? Did you say anything about horses, Harry?
I never mentioned a horse.
Horses?
Well, very humorous, Pettibone. Horses.
The laugh's on you, Pettibone.
Well, it certainly is, my good man.
Why, Harvey and I will go after those eggs, scorch up the road, and be back in nothing flat.
Yes.
In my automobile.
You hear that, Pettibone? Willie and I will burn up the road in his... Oh, what was that you said?
Papa. Harvey, do you really mean it?
Well, now I...
Oh, Papa, how dashing and daring.
After all you said, are you really going to ride in an automobile?
Will somebody explain how all this happened?
Look at him, folks. A man of unyielding resolution, inflexible determination. Well, now that you've made up your mind, nothing can stop you, can it, Harvey?
No. No, certainly not. Well,
what are you waiting for, Willie? Go out and screw up the crank on that Rosewood engine with a 2-cylinder dashboard. We'll bring the blasted thing back loaded with eggs.
Now let's listen to a brief musical message from Jeff Alexander and the quartet.
I want a girl just like the girl that married dear old Dad. She was a pearl and the only girl that Daddy ever had. A good old-fashioned girl with heart so true. One who loves nobody else but you. I want a girl just like the girl that married dear old Dad. Dear old girl, the robin sings above you. Dear old girl, it speaks of how I love you. The blinding tears are falling as I think of my lost pearl. And my broken heart is calling, calling for you, dear old girl. I want a girl just like the girl that married dear old dad.
And now back to My Mother's Husband, starring William Powell.
Oh, backward, turn backward, oh, time in my flight. When a bath was a must every Saturday night. When people stayed married when once they were wed. And slept every night in a big double bed.
It was nearly dark when my mother's husband and Uncle Willie came back to Vandeventer Place. A horse was pulling Uncle Willie's automobile, and trailing by a rope was a Jersey cow. In the rear compartment was a sheep and a pig, and sitting on Father's lap was a chicken. Father was saying, and I quote,
"Oh, cha!
Old days that we treasure. The girls we adored, they are with us again in a barbershop cord."
We didn't dare ask any questions of my mother's husband during supper. But later in the sitting room, Mother threw all caution to the winds and said,
"Harvey? Harvey, dear?"
"Yes, Dorothy."
"That cow in the backyard, Harvey."
"Well?"
"And the pig, and the sheep, and the chicken."
"Well, what about them?"
"Are we keeping them for someone?"
"I am the sole owner."
"Oh, my goodness, Papa, will you study to be a veterinary?"
"Certainly not. Why?"
"Well, the cow seemed to limp."
"And the pig and the sheep seem a trifle battered to me, Harvey."
"They are all unfortunate victims of a reign of terror."
"Oh.
A bloodbath. A slaughter of the innocents. Conducted with moronic fervor by a black blood relation of yours known as Uncle Willie."
"Harvey Jefferson Brickle, if my mother knew that you said that, she would swear never again to set foot in your house."
"As the woman who spawned Willie, she'd get around such an oath by walking in on her hand."
You went after eggs. Didn't you find any?
We found a farmhouse where they sold eggs, yes. And we drove into the yard.
Oh, my. The farmer must have been terribly impressed to see an automobile drive right up to his door and stop.
We didn't stop.
Why not?
Well, some devilish didn't bobble got stuck. We had to go round and round the house till we ran out of gasoline.
Oh.
Cow, sheep, and the pig were some of the obstacles that Willie failed to hurdle.
Did the farmer make you buy them, Papa?
We settled it that way. Several times going around, we came within an inch of having to buy the farmer's grandfather. The old coot was not only agile, but tricky. Well, he couldn't quite clip him.
But the country eggs, dear, that's what you went after.
I didn't buy any eggs because I purchased a chicken.
Yes.
I now have my own egg layer right on the premises. Tomorrow morning, it will produce my own personal breakfast egg.
Is that the chicken in the box in your den, Papa?
Yes, Virginia.
But that chicken's a rooster.
It's a hen.
No, Papa, it's a rooster.
I say it's a hen.
Now, really, Harvey, if Virginia says it's a gentleman chicken...
It is not a gentleman chicken. And let me point out that a girl of 18 with a refined and moral upbringing shouldn't even know about such things.
Harvey, dear, you've had a hard day. Now, why don't you go to bed and...
You and Virginia can go to bed, Dorothy. I shall sit up with my hen.
But, Harvey, if it's against nature...
I don't give a tinker's toot about nature. I've got time and money tied up in that bird. And so help me, it is going to produce an egg.
My grandfather's clock that wound with a key struck out the hour of three.
Oh, don't think you can pluck your way out of it, you bogus barnyard nightingale. Laying an egg is the lowest form of unskilled labor. I could probably produce one myself if I put my mind to it. No, I won't be unreasonable. I'll accept a large, medium, or small one. But put this in your benighted radical craw. I want an egg.
Oh, my grandfather's clock, that time would survive, struck out the hour of five.
Oh, I can outsit you, my fine feathered fiend. 10 years is about your limit. But the Lord guarantees me a life expectancy of 80. Now, I warn you. I'm almost at the end of my patience. Why, a lowly pigeon risked its life to deliver the word to Noah. A stalwart stork defied gravity to deliver me to my mother. Now, you, by gad, won't even bend a drumstick to deliver an egg.
Grandfather's clock that never was late struck out the hour of eight.
Harvey, dear.
I'm here in the den, Dorothy.
Good morning, Papa.
Good morning, Virginia.
Oh, Harvey, dear, it's 8:00. Don't you want some breakfast?
I do. You may tell Ella May to put some water on the stove and stand by to boil me my own personal breakfast egg.
Oh, now, Harvey, we know you're a man of firm determination.
And iron willpower, Papa.
You're brave enough and big enough to accept failure.
No one can say you didn't try, Papa.
Oh, I know it's terribly hard to face, Harvey, but even you can't get an egg from a gentleman chicken.
Well, it just so happens that I have an egg, Dorothy. Oh,
but, Papa...
It was just laid for me by my personal fowl.
Oh, Harvey.
You may examine it if you like.
Why, it's a perfectly beautiful egg.
Naturally. Its entire manufacture was under my personal supervision.
I just can't believe it, Papa.
Why, Harvey, I'm so proud of you, I could cry.
And the bird was most uncooperative. Displayed all the filibustering tactics of a congressman. But it finally dawned on his microscopic brain that it was either give up the ghost or give up the egg.
Oh, Papa, this day will go down in history.
At 7:45, I stepped out of the hall to look at the clock. And when I returned, the fowl was sitting in a semi-exhausted condition on my bust of Shakespeare. And our egg was lying on my desk.
Oh, you know I have a good mind to call up the St. Louis Republic and give them the story.
Nonsense, my dear. That Democratic sheet wouldn't print a Republican victory. Here, you may give the egg to Ella May and instruct her to cook it carefully.
Oh, yes, Harvey.
Tell her to use soft water from the rainwater barrel.
Oh, of course, dear. Oh, I almost forgot. Mr. Pettibone is waiting in the kitchen to see you.
You can send him in.
Oh, yes, Harvey. Oh, Mr. Pettibone.
Papa, do you have to eat that egg? Can't you save it for the Smithsonian Institute?
Oh, when the fowl and I get better at it, I might put one aside for them, Virginia.
Morning, Mr. Bricker. Morning, Miss Virginia.
Good morning, Mr. Pettibone. Oh, there's the front door bell. Excuse me.
Say now, where'd you get this here stuffed rooster, Mr. Bricker?
It is not stuffed, and it is not a rooster.
Huh?
It is a hen, Pettibone.
Oh. Well, I never seen a hen with that shape.
Please, there are gentlewomen in the house. Let's not be bawdy.
Oh, excuse me. Well, I just wanted to know how you liked my egg.
I gave you my opinion of it yesterday morning.
Oh, I don't mean yesterday's egg. I mean the prize one I brought this morning.
I haven't seen it. I've been too occupied with my own egg laying to inquire about your efforts on the nest.
Oh, you must have seen it, Mr. Brickle. I just now met Mrs. Brickle carrying mine out of here.
My good man, you are laboring under a gross misapprehension. Mrs. Brickle was carrying my egg.
But, God darn it, I guess a man knows his own egg.
I certainly know mine.
It was my egg.
It was mine. And I'll fight you right up to the Supreme Court to prove it.
And now, look, Mr. Brickle. I was going around to your back door about 7:45 this morning.
My egg was born at exactly 7:45.
I noticed this here window was open and that there rooster sitting on the statue. So, wanting to surprise you, I reached in the window and laid my egg right here on your desk.
You? By gad, Pettibone. Why, you're lower than a bird who steals another bird's nest. Pettibone, I'm giving you just 1 minute to get out of my house.
Papa. So, you see, Mr. Brickle, unless you got two eggs, the one you got just has to be my egg.
Mr. Pettibone.
Papa.
Yes, Virginia, what do you want?
There's a man at the door from the Board of Health.
Tell him we enjoy poor health and we don't want it improved.
But he says the neighbors are complaining and you can't keep a cow and a pig and a sheep in our backyard. You've got to get rid of them right now.
Well, tell him I'll take care of the matter at my own convenience.
But, Papa...
Tell him!
Oh, all right, Papa.
Oh, Providence, show me no mercy. Four coals of fire in my head. Deliver me to my enemies. Pettibone... Where the devil do you think you're going?
Well, I just thought...
Sit down.
Now, look, Mr. Brickle...
Sit down!
Yes, sir.
Now, I want a truthful answer to a plain question. Where do you live?
I got a 5-acre farm outside of town.
Mm. Any livestock?
Just chickens.
Well, then how can you have the audacity to call it a farm?
Well, I just...
And how can you have the unmitigated gall to sell farm eggs that have never seen a farm?
Well, you see...
Do you know what gives farm eggs a different flavor? Mr. Pettibone, the hen sits on her nest, and she watches a contented cow manufacturing gallons of rich milk. She observes a tranquil sheep growing skeins of warm wool. She sees a happy porker adding pounds to its fat hams for the smokehouse. And the farm hen, jealous of all this furious industry... spurs herself to a prodigious effort and produces what is called the true farm egg.
Well, maybe so, but I...
Pettibone, you are a rogue and a bunco artist. But to save your miserable carcass from jail and your immortal soul from inferno, I'm going to make you into an honest farmer. You may have my cow, my sheep, and my pig.
But...
And as a bonus... that prize fowl on my bust of Shakespeare.
Now, just a second, Mr. Brickle.
Now, don't sit there and quibble. You want the blasted livestock, or don't you?
Well, sure I do, but I...
Well, then get your animals off my property, or I'll sue you for trespass and property damage.
Well, okay, Mr. Brickle, but it sure don't seem...
High. And Pettibone.
Yes?
Now, I'm a very modest man. Not a word about my generosity to anyone. You understand?
Oh, no, sir, Mr. Brickle. Gosh, do you think I want him to think I'm crazy?
And I shall expect delivery of 2 dozen farm eggs every week, free.
Going, Mr. Pettibone?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, dear.
Yes, Dorothy?
Breakfast is ready and... Why, darling, is anything wrong?
Certainly not. Why?
Well, you look so unnatural, so peaceful and relaxed.
I'm exceedingly peaceful and extremely relaxed.
Oh, I'm so glad.
I've never felt better in my whole life.
Oh, that's simply wonderful, Harvey.
I feel so good that I even like Uncle Willie.
He's very fond of you, Harvey.
Ah, I'm at peace with the whole world. Why, I even love your mother.
Oh, that makes me terribly happy, Harvey.
It does?
Yes. The boy just brought a telegram saying that Mother was coming down from Hannibal for a nice long visit. Harvey. Harvey, dear, you look positively ghastly. Harvey. Harvey, darling, speak to me.
No! Jeff!
Featured in tonight's cast were Sarah Selby, Sharon Douglas, Tom Tully, Charles Seal, Lillian Randolph, Paul McVeigh, Jess Kirkpatrick, and yours truly, Jack McCoy. This program was created and written by Charles Tazewell. Music was composed and conducted by Jeff Alexander. The entire production was under the direction of Joe Rhimes. The star of My Mother's Husband was William Powell.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, Dorothy.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, Virginia.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, everyone.